Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 3 says that unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering. Notice that, a sin offering. And a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. And a bullock and a ram for a peace offering. Now, we didn't get down to that one. The peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering. That was the fourth one, mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Now I want you to notice, they were standing before the Lord. That's what it says. But then earlier he said, for the Lord shall appear to you this day. Amen. They stood before the Lord. It says, and they brought that which Moses commanded. Verse 6 says, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. They stood before the Lord. But the glory of the Lord was going to appear to them if they obeyed God. Then, now skipping down towards the end of the chapter, verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they saw this, they shouted and fell on their faces. Amen. I'd like to preach again tonight, part two. Get ready for God's glory. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask God to help me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Pray that the Holy Ghost would move in a special way. Father, you know how unable that I am. I'm praying for the Holy Ghost to anoint me and loose my mind, my tongue, and my heart, Lord, that I might minister to these people. Speak the things that are in secret. Lord Jesus, show thy glory here tonight. Let the Spirit of God come down upon us. Father, I pray you'd bless and move in a mighty way. God, I thank you and praise you, and I love you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, we've got a good number of people here tonight, and a lot of times we'll get to talking about a big meeting. And we'll talk about how that there's so many people here. Is this on, or do I need to do something to it? Is it all right? All right? No? All right. What did I do here, brother? Lord. Amen. I do appreciate this church and Brother and Sister Prescott and all the fellowship and preachers as well. And I'll tell you, the cooks are doing great. And Brother Prescott's running the service wonderful. And the singers are singing tremendous. And the Vesper service is great as well. We've been having a great meeting. A lot of people coming through here. Some have come and went already. A lot of times we talk about a big meeting and we talk about how many people were there. But in all reality, any meeting's a big meeting if a big God shows up. Hallelujah. And sometimes we might ought to measure how big a meeting is by how manifested God's presence was in the midst of that meeting. Because we can have a great congregation of people, and if God really isn't manifesting His presence in a powerful way, that's a pretty small meeting. I mean,
that can only do what man can do. And I don't know about you, but I've never healed anybody or saved anybody or talked anybody out of anything that was powerfully a hold of their life. I mean, some people think you can counsel somebody out of anything. I'll tell you, whatever words you use, if the Spirit of God don't come down and help you, you're at a loss. Amen. You can't talk a drug addict out of his drug addiction. You can reason with him and he'll say, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right, and then go right back to it. Same way with an alcoholic or an adulterer or whatever, anybody that's bound by hatred, you can tell them, hey, this is destroying you. And they'll go right ahead and do it. But I'll tell you, when a big God comes down in a meeting like this, do you know people can be delivered from anything? I got a man in my church. He was a drug addict for many years, was in Vietnam. His mom came to my church. She was a shouter and a prayer, I'm telling you. Sister D. Thrasher was an amazing lady. And anytime there was a shout going on, she was one of the first few people out there, amen, giving glory to God in that manner. But I will tell you, though, her son was lost for many years, and she died still praying for him, praying for her drug addict boy to be saved. And a year after we had her funeral there at the church, Danny Thrasher was doing drugs, and he had his coffee table there. He said he had drugs on that coffee table, and he said he was doing those things, and he said, I got to crying, and he said, God, I've disappointed everybody in my life. Said, I can't stop these drugs. They've had him in and out of rehab, and that didn't do anything for him. Amen. And he said, God, I want to stop these drugs. Would you help me stop these drugs? He praying in the way that he could. And he said, I heard a voice. He said, it wasn't in my head. He said, I heard a voice. Amen. And he said, stand up. And he said, I looked around and there wasn't anybody there. And he said, I heard it again, stand up. And he said, so I stood up. And he said, I heard this same voice say, I have taken your drug habit and your craving for drugs. Now serve me. Amen. He said, I stood there. He said, I looked down at those drugs. He said, I didn't want them. He said, I threw them away. Praise God. I think that's been 13 years ago, and he hadn't had any drugs since then. I'll tell you what, when a big God comes down in a trailer, a drug addict can get free. That's a big meeting right there, friend. Hallelujah, that's a big meeting. They had all kinds of counselors and psychiatrists and so on to try to counsel him out and dry him out, and it never worked. But a big God, in answer to Mama's prayer, coming down a year later after we had her funeral, amen, set a man free. And I'll tell you what, I feel that big God in this place here tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, isn't it amazing? The Bible says they stood before the Lord, and God even spoke to them through Moses. And so God was near, amen, but God also said, I'm going to show you my glory in so many words. You obey me doing this. Amen. And today, I'm going to appear to you in a special way. And I said it last night, but you know, God is everywhere. He's just as much on the moon as he is here tonight. If you're going to talk about the omnipresence or his all presence wherever he is, you can't go anywhere he ain't. Amen. He just as much in the deepest part of the ocean as he is right here, if you're going to talk about his presence. But you know, there's sometimes he comes by in a more manifest way to people, and we understand that he is here. And I'll tell you, I would like to come to church every time expecting God in such a way that he could show himself in a mighty way. I want to just ask you, don't you think we're desperate for a real visitation from God? I mean, if you really knew some of the needs that was here tonight, you'd say only God could take care of this. I mean, there may be a young person about to backslide. Amen. What if there's somebody contemplating suicide here tonight? What if this service is a life and death situation as far as they're concerned? Amen. And we need God in this place. I'm going to tell you this, but in our area, there was a spirit of suicide just going through our area. And it seemed like just every week or two, or maybe two or three weeks, there'd be somebody kill themselves. And a sister in our church said, we need to stand up and bind this spirit of suicide. Amen. And so we bound together. The glory of God came down in that service. Amen. And I hadn't been keeping track of it. But a year later, amen, just a couple of months ago, the same sister stood up and said, I've been keeping track, and no one has committed suicide in our area, amen, since we prayed that night. I'm just going to tell you, when the glory of God comes down in a church, it doesn't just affect what's going on right here in these four walls. Amen, the glory of God affects what's outside of these walls. The influence of the Spirit of God that is in this place and in your local churches, wherever you're from, is a mighty thing that the devil fears. Amen. Oh, let the glory come down and blind those demonic eyes here tonight. Amen. Let the Spirit of God shoot out from this place like lightning. Amen. And cause the devil and all of his plans to be scattered. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And so he said, listen, you're going to see God's glory in a special way. Get ready. Amen. We talked about the sin offering. You can't enjoy God's glory without taking care of sin, but the blood of Jesus will take care of sin. And then that burnt offering of consecration, wholeheartedly giving yourself in a sanctified manner, amen, unto the Lord, and let him accept you, presenting yourself to God, no questions, amen, never taking it back. I've seen people with scorched hands taking their sacrifice back from off the altar, but I'll tell you, don't want to do that. Amen, just leave it right there. Amen, and then we get on here to this third sacrifice, this peace offering that was made in somewhat of a fellowship, and it could be even to reconcile some people if there was something going on there. Well, I'll tell you, I know the blood of Jesus gives us peace with God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else. Amen. This Holy Ghost power and the blood of Jesus will make you want to have peace with one another as well. And if we ever really want to have a great move of the Holy Ghost, amen, we're going to have to come together in unity. What I loved about this scripture, you noticed all the congregation really wanted the glory of God in a special way. And it said all the congregation gathered and stood before the presence of the Lord. Amen. Oh, amen. I've read that scripture, Cornelius, when he met Peter and he said, we are all present before God. I thought, boy, I'd like to have a church service like that. Amen. Where we were all present. And we was all present before God. Amen. We really understood that. Our minds wasn't wandering. We all understood. There was a unity there. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, some people are one apology away from where they are to the glory of God. Amen. They're one little wishing they could win the argument away. One little bit of envy and strife they've got to get rid of. Amen. To having a real Holy Ghost move of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Brother Doyle House, some of y'all knew him. Brother Walls here, I'm sure, did. Brother Eddie Peach did, and some of y'all did. But he went to my church, and he died just a couple years ago, 87 years old. But Brother Doyle was a worshiper and a pusher. Amen. But one time we was going to the prison service, and he got to telling me about a revival he preached years ago, a long time ago. And he said there was a couple of churches that believed the same, but they wouldn't fellowship. And it just, you know, he told me what it's about. It's a little bit of nothing, just to be honest. It wasn't doctrine. It wasn't anybody going worldly. It wasn't anybody compromising. It wasn't any issue that was really, really important. It was a little family squabble between two people. But anyway, amen. Brother Doyle said, I just kept friends with all of them. And he said, on the last Sunday of the meeting, he said, the Lord spoke to me and told me there's going to be a coming together. And he said, and that night, the other church dismissed to come over to that church. And so, Brother Doyle said, well, it's coming to pass, coming to pass. Amen. And so he said, I preached, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, I gave an altar call, said people came up, prayed 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, you know, got up, went to their seat. Pastor was about to dismiss. And he said, I thought to myself, you know, I knew the Lord was going to bring all this together, but it don't seem like it's happening just yet. He said, I was sitting there, and as the pastor said, are all hearts clear? He said, a lady in the back stood up and said, my heart's not clear. I want to apologize. I've caused strife. And I know not necessarily everything needs to be taken care of publicly like that. You understand? But I guess this was so public, this needed to be done publicly. And she said, I need to pray. And she ran to that altar. Amen. Somebody else stood up and apologized, and they ran to the altar. And somebody else stood up and apologized, and they ran to the altar. I don't know what time they was fixing to dismiss, but it's somewhere, just say 8 or 9 o'clock. Amen. But he said what was about to be a dismissal turned into a Holy Ghost glorious revival. Amen. We didn't get out of church till 1 o'clock in the morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, folks, we got too many people lost. We got too many people that need healing. Amen. We can't get petty about stuff here in the last days. Amen. We just got to go on with the glory of God. That's our heart's desire, is to see a manifest presence of God in a special way. And whatever we got to sacrifice or give up, if it's our own little bit of pride, amen, our own little bit of, hey, you know, that little chip on your shoulder that's just waiting for somebody to offend you, amen, just get rid of it. Amen. And say, what I want more than anything is God's presence. What I want more than anything is the Spirit of the Lord filling our church, filling my home, filling my heart in a powerful manner. Amen. But you're not going to get it as long as you're talking too much, as long as you got that envy in your spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some things more wonderful than getting your way. There's some things better than winning an argument. Amen. There's some things better, amen, than showing how petty you can be. And that's when you get the peace of God and the power of God and the glory of God coming down in your spirit. I'll just tell you, it's been said several times, so I'm going to say it again. While I'm here, Brother Prescott is my pastor. And I respect him in all reality enough that if he called me up and told me he saw something out of my life that I needed to change, I would respect him enough to do that. And I talked to him the other day. I said, is there anything I need to know? I know Brother Prescott don't wear a tie, but I said, I won't wear a tie if you don't want me to. Amen. Don't matter to me. Whatever it is, I'm under his authority. But you know, there's some people, They just can't do that. I'll tell you, I believe that whoever's here, y'all got a wonderful pastor. I think y'all to do your best to just be right here with them. You know what I'm saying? Amen. That's a part of unity. That's a part of the power of God. Praise the name of Jesus. But there it is. I remember hearing a story, and I wish I might could have checked this out, but I remember hearing this story about a family who didn't go to the doctor, and they had a little baby that was dying. And this little baby that was dying, amen, very, very sick, and seemed like it was dying at least. Amen, the social services was coming to take away all of their children. Amen. But anyway, there was strife between them and some other people in the church. And they had prayed for this baby, and the baby wasn't getting healed. And they knew the social services was coming the next day if they didn't take them to the doctor. And listen, I'm not preaching against the doctor, because I, you know, however you feel like you need to do, you obey God, okay? Amen. At any rate, they got to praying and asking God, what do they need to do in order for this baby to be healed? And they felt like they needed to go and make some things right with these other folks over here. And you know what they did? They obeyed God. Amen. They brought them people over there. There was apologizing. There was some, you know, tears. There was compassion and love shown between them. And they all joined together to pray for that little baby. And you know, God healed that little child. The next day when the social services came up, amen, came up and was at the door, amen, they passed a little child. I said a baby probably is old enough to get around play, you know, but a little child out there playing, amen. And they came up to the door and they said, we're here to see the child that is so sick about to die that you're not taking to the doctor. And they said, that's that little boy right there you passed that's playing in the yard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just tell you, there's something. I know some people say, well, do you mean I got to sacrifice to get the glory of God? I want to ask you something. Is it a sacrifice when you get the glory of God? Is it really? Whatever you give up, whatever you lay aside, whatever you push aside, I want to ask you, amen, here God said, just obey me in these things, offer these sacrifices, and I'm going to show you my glory. Do you think that fella that owned the lamb said, boy, I'll tell you, I, after seeing the glory of God, I wish I had my lamb back. Wish I had that goat back. Amen. I wish I hadn't even offered that peace offering. Amen. No, I'll tell you what, all of those piddly little things is not even to be compared with the greatness of the presence of the Lord. And what we feel in the house of God, amen, is much more than anything that we might give up. Now listen, I told last night at the end of my message about Sister Gwen in our church, saved out of the Church of Christ, got to one in the Holy Ghost. Her husband was lost. She's still hanging on to her worldly novels. She got rid of them and got to praying anything for the Holy Ghost. The only reason I'm telling this a little again is because there may be somebody don't know where I am, but amen. But she, God spoke to her to run around the church and worship. He gave her the Holy Ghost. She ran around the church, slid in the altar. God baptized her in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But more than that, I mean, more than that, a couple weeks later, her husband got saved. Hallelujah. And now her sons are married and raising their children in the house of God. You know what? I don't think she goes around saying, boy, I wish I just had them novels back. Boy, I wish I'd have just hung on to the world. I was having so much fun. I'll tell you, a move of God is the greatest joy that anybody will ever have. And you're not going to give up anything that compares to the mighty power of God that can be manifested in your life and in your church. Oh, yes. Whew. Glory. Well, amen. We got a prison ministry. We've got several prisons we go to. We had a man that had gotten saved at another prison, and he's from Mexico, and he was transferred to FCI Texarkana, Brother Martin. And Brother Martin, amen, got to hearing the holiness preaching, and he came on over to holiness. You know, that's what happens when you get the holy nature of God put in you. Amen. But anyway, he came on in, and he said to my couple of men in my church, he said, brothers, he said, my town in Mexico don't have a church. Said, I sure wish they had a church. So you know what they found out where he was? Flew down there, handed out Bibles. Had Brother Steve Watts and Brother Dominic go with them. They had a church service. Amen. God moved. People got saved. Amen. Time where Brother Martin's in the prison up there, he seeks God, gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Gets called to preach. Amen. And eventually they deport him back to Mexico. And he goes to that church and they make him the pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So he's pastoring that church, and then he goes down the road a little ways and he starts another church. Amen. And then he goes down the road another ways and he starts another church. Amen. There's three churches came out of our prison ministry. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And I know it was a lot for those men to set aside time to go to the prison and do the orientation and get in there and set aside time and fly down to Mexico. But I'll tell you what, when they get to heaven, the reward of souls and the reward of the blessings of God, amen, is going to be much more than any sacrifice that they ever made. Listen, man of God, I realize it can be hard sometimes, and you can get weary in well doing, but don't quit plowing in hope. Amen. The seed's gonna come up one of these days. Hey, there's a reward afterwards. There's a reward one of these days. Hey, I know we quote that scripture. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Amen. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, you get a different harvest right there. Now don't mock God. Don't mock God, sinner. Don't mock God and act like you can just live any old way and the crop don't come up. Preacher, Sunday school teacher, deacon, don't mock God. Don't act like all your good works are for nothing. Don't act as though that what you're doing does not matter. What you sow, you're going to reap. Glory to God. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it, brother. It's going to happen. It will happen. Hell, I need to hurry here, or I may have to do part three here. I don't know. And I'm preaching to you and telling you that some people say it's a sacrifice, but look at what you get, the glory of God. It is not a sacrifice because God always outgives us. Amen. Whatever we give to Him, He gives in greater abundance. He gives in greater power. He gives in greater joy. Amen. And then there's that meat offering or meal offering, actually meal offering, where that they made some bread, had some grain that they made into bread and had oil and frankincense in it. And they had fellowship with this, and they took part of it and threw it in the fire and ate the rest of it. Amen. Up to me, this speaks to me of Jesus and our fellowship together and with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. It is like this. Jesus is the bread of life. Is that right? Amen. And He was ground pretty fine, amen, in servitude as a man, but He was still anointed with a greater oil than the oil that was on that bread. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost, and that frankincense was a sweet smelling savor. And oh, you talk about a great and blessed and wonderful savor. When Jesus comes into the room, it changes the atmosphere everywhere, doesn't it? Amen. But then, amen, He was thrown in the fire of God's wrath and judgment on the cross. But after the resurrection, the church gets to feast upon the blessed Son of God. Amen. This is my body that was broken for you. And here we have a feast together. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I tell you, if you want to see the glory of God, amen, focus on Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Honor the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, I know you remember that scripture where Jesus said, amen, if you're thirsty, come and drink. I'll satisfy your thirst. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'll tell you, that first quenching of the thirst, as far as I'm concerned, is salvation. But, amen, when you believe upon Him, as the scripture says, amen, you get rivers of living water. Amen. Sanctifying, Holy Ghost filling rivers that come out of your innermost being. It's a Holy Ghost flood. Hallelujah. And John adds this commentary. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, amen, which they that believe upon Him should receive. Amen. I may not quote it exactly, but it was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. But I'll tell you what, He is glorified now. And when you feast on Jesus, I'll tell you, you get the glory of God coming down. And here they obeyed the Lord. They took care of sin. They laid it all on the altar. They made peace. Amen. They were feasting upon the Lord. But here, amen, after they had completely obeyed, you know what happened? The fire fell. The glory came down. And they saw it. Amen. They didn't have to question, well, is this God or not? God was there. And it was obvious. It was obvious to them. It's obvious to everybody else. Amen. One old preacher was asked one time, you know what an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move is? He said, I sure do. And I know what it ain't. Amen. I'll tell you, there's a lot of ain't nowadays. But I thank God we've had the glory come down in this place, and there's not a question about it. The power of God has been manifested. The presence of God has been rich and real in this place, and He's here tonight, and you can be saved, you can be healed, you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can be sanctified. Why? Because God's here. This is a big meeting because we got a big God, and you don't have a need that's as big as my God. You don't have a need that's as big as the God that's in this big meeting. Hallelujah. They shouted uncontrollably. Amen. They fell on their faces. Sometimes we get too much control of the meeting. Amen. And God wants charge. Amen. He wants to tell us when it's time to stop. Glory. Hallelujah. They fell on their faces, and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. And I'm going to close here. Listen, you know, amen, they laid that sacrifice there. They identified with it. Amen. They knew that it was representative of their lives, their nation, there upon the altar. And the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. They also knew that God was a consuming fire. Now let me tell you something about fire that you already know. It changes the nature of whatever it gets a hold of. If fire got in this pulpit, you know, I can touch this right now because it's just wood. It's all right. But I'll tell you, if fire got in this pulpit, pretty soon it'd be fire and wood mingled together. And I couldn't touch the wood without touching the fire. Hallelujah. Why? Because the fire and the wood was all one. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. When the fire fell on that day, it was God symbolically saying, hey man, I'm going to mingle my nature inside of you. I'm going to be a part of you. Hey man, I'm not just going to be an outside force here that you look up and say, wow, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to be all through you. Hey man, just like I got all in that sacrifice, I'm going to get all in Israel. At Church of the Living God, I'm preaching to you right here and telling you the Holy Ghost wants to fall again. Amen. And touch you. Amen. Yeah, when they dedicated the tabernacle, the glory came down. When they dedicated the temple, the glory came down. And on the day of Pentecost, amen, when that new temple of the Holy Ghost, amen, the church and the body of Christ, the glory came down again. And fire danced on top of the heads of the people of God. I'm telling you, God has never withdrawn his fire and his glory. He still wants to baptize in the Holy Ghost. He still wants to show his glory. Amen. Could we all stand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Would you raise your hands and say, oh God, let the fire fall. Let the glory come. Hallelujah! Oh, yes. Woo. Glory, 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 glory. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. When you obey, obey God. Obey God, I said. Hallelujah! Help me, God. He's an extraordinary God. He deserves extraordinary obedience. Hallelujah. About to give an altar call for those that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I feel different right now. I feel like giving an altar call for those that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but it's been a while since you've been refilled. I want you to come right now. Come on right now. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Been a little while. Not saying you backslid or anything like that, just saying it's been a little while. I need to get full of the Holy Ghost again. Come on. Come on. I really feel like in all reality, if some here would obey the Lord, there'd be others that have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that the overflow would just get them caught up in this stream and they could get baptized in the Spirit again or baptized for the first time. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a big crowd. We may need to stand up and worship the Lord here. Hallelujah. Anybody else say, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God to come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been a while since I've had that glory. I'll tell you, if we all got filled here tonight, it'd be easier for somebody to get baptized in the Holy Ghost the first time. Is there anybody say, Brother Lord, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I've never went through like on the day of Pentecost where they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Would you come on up here right now? Hey, my heart is hungry. I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on right now. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're a Christian, amen, that's a part of your right as being a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. I'm not saying you're not a good Christian, but you'll never be that excelling Christian until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost in fire. Come on. Come on. Hey, I need the baptism. I need that special touch of glory. I need that day of Pentecost experience.
It's falling.